In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Jesus marched into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey into the center of power. There he went to confront Jerusalem, confront the temple and the authorities and the rulers that resided within. Jesus shut down the temple completely that day he entered into it, throwing the tables around. The center of their economy shut down. The center of their politics shut down. The center of their religion and prayer life shut down. As one might imagine, this stirred up the hornet's nest against Jesus. The authorities came to Jesus and challenged him. God gives you the authority to do this. How dare you? And Jesus, remember, had then preached to them in three parables, challenging them to recognize that they were rebelling against God. And then they had gone right back at Jesus with three challenges, trying to trap him to get him killed by the Roman authorities. But Jesus shot those down one after another. And then Jesus turned his ire against the authorities of the temple about their hypocrisy, how they had turned God's house of prayer into a place of oppression. The widows and orphans weren't lifted up, they were torn down and destroyed. Jesus left the temple disgusted for the final time. And when he had gathered with his disciples outside the temple, he had told them, not one stone is going to be left on this. It's all coming down. The whole thing. God's judgment is right around the corner. And then Jesus told his disciples, so you got to be ready. Be ready. God's judgment is coming upon the world when you least expect it. No one knows the time. No one can predict it. Be ready like a faithful and wise servant. And so Jesus then told them a series of stories. He said, think of it like this. There's a great wedding party, and there's a groom who everyone is waiting on to arrive for the great wedding celebration. And you got 10 virgins who are part of this wedding party, and they are excited for the party. 5 of them are wise. They're prepared. Why? Because they have their lamps, and their lamps are filled with oil. So when the groom delays longer than they expect, they are able to light their lamps. And when the midnight oil comes, they're ready. They're ready to wait for the groom to show up. But with these 5 virgins, there are 5 others. Now these are not wise virgins, for they brought their lamps. They don't have a drop of oil. In silliness, they think the lamps will do them good without oil. But when the groom delays in coming, and then all of a sudden they realize they need the oil in their lamps, they beg to the other virgins, give us some oil. And those virgins say, why weren't you prepared? You knew. You even brought your lamp. Why didn't you bring your oil? You better run out and go get the oil so that when the groom arrives, there will be oil in your lamp. So off they run. But while they're gone, the groom shows up. He welcomes the 5 wise virgins who were prepared into the great party. But then later, the other 5 virgins who weren't prepared come back and say, wait, 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 let us in. And he says, I don't know you. You missed the party. When I came, you weren't prepared. I'm sorry, the doors have been closed. And then Jesus says to his disciples, look, you know what the world is like. Powerful men with lots of possessions and power. They give out their power and wealth to those who they want to serve their purposes. So like a guy giving out $5 million to one of his servants and says, hey, I'm going on a journey. Use my $5 million to get me rich and powerful when I return. And to another servant, he says, here's $2 million. Take it. Use it. Get me rich and powerful when I return. And to another guy, he says, here, because you're weaker, because you have less, here's $1 million. Take that, but use it. Get rich and powerful to give it back to me when I return. So the rich man goes off on his journey. He comes back. And the first servant, who was given the $5 million, says, sir, oh, I was cutthroat out there. I took that $5 million, I put it to work, and oh, I got $5 million more here. And the rich man says, oh, good and faithful servant, you worked for me to build up the power and wealth. Second guy comes up. I took your $2 million and I put it to work. I used it. Oh, and man, I was cutthroat. People were taking advantage of it. I got rich for you. He says, oh, good and faithful servant. The third guy says, oh, you, sir, are a terrible man. You take what doesn't belong to you. You don't do a single thing of work and let you take from others. And so I just buried your $1 million. Here, take it back. I wouldn't dare use it to oppress others. Oh, the rich man is angry. He says, how dare you stand up to my power and oppression? If you knew I was a nasty man, you should have been out there cutthroat to save your own hide. You should have been using that to take interest from the poor in order to get me richer. But now you didn't work for me, I cast you out. Oh, you're going to regret the day you didn't play my games. You're out of my kingdom. But, Jesus says to them, in the midst of this, you know how the world works like that. But in the midst of this, the truly human one, the true king, will show up. And when this king shows up, he'll gather all of the people of the world together. He'll gather that rich master. He'll gather all of the servants who played his games. He'll gather all of the people of the nations together. And when the true judge comes, he will separate them. And he'll take the people of the world and he'll separate them into his kingdom, those who are a part of his great party and those who are cut out. And his judgment will be like this. He will take those who did not oppress the poor, those who did not charge interest and take advantage of their neighbors, those who gave the hungry food, those who gave the thirsty a drink, those who welcomed the stranger into their homes, those who took care of the sick, who visited those in prison. The true king will separate these aside and say, you were the truly faithful servants. And they will be surprised at the verdict. And on the other side, there will be equal surprise. Those who thought they were doing the servant's master's bidding, but in reality, they were oppressing. When the poor needed something, they were taking advantage of them. When the hungry were knocking on their door, they looked the other way. The homeless needed a place, they ignored them. The sick, they didn't want to be around them. The prisoners, oh, wouldn't dare stoop to their level. The true king says, you may have had it great in your life as you played the games of the world and got rich and powerful, but God's judgment has come. The truth has been revealed. You are cut out of God's people. There is no place for you in God's kingdom that is about love and compassion and mercy. And the righteous will enter God's kingdom, and the resurrection of the dead will be lifted up. They had it rough in this life, but God exalts them in the life of resurrection to come. Be prepared. Jesus is telling his disciples, be prepared for the judgment of God. And in this beautiful interplay of stories, Jesus sets the stage of preparation. And as he tells the story of the 10 virgins, we're probably thinking to ourselves, at least I hope you are, you're thinking, so what is this oil? What's the oil that the 5 virgins have? Because all the virgins have the lamp. They kind of got the superficial vessel, but only 5 of them have the heart, the oil. What is it? Well, Jesus tells us very plainly in this last story, the oil is the love for the poor, for the homeless, the outcasts, the sick, the prisoners. The foolish virgins were the ones who had the vessel of the lamp. And so we're God's people. We have the lamp. And the Lord says, but where's the oil on the inside? Where are the works of good for my people? Where is the life of faithfulness to my commands? And the foolish virgins are the ones who think they're God's people, but their lives aren't filled with the true oil of what God has called his people to do and be. And that middle story in our text, the parable of the talents, as it's often called, so interpreted over the generations. We have used this parable as an example of how to be good and faithful, but in reality, Jesus is using this parable, I believe very clearly, as the negative example. This is how the world works and how the world's judgment works. And the key word in this is where the master demands that his servants take interest. You think, well, what's the big deal with that? Our world is full of interest all the time. But for the Hebrew people, they knew that from beginning to end of the scriptures, all throughout the Old Testament, unequivocally, interest taking is forbidden. Forbidden. In the Torah, into the Psalms, into the prophets. Those who take interest are oppressing and taking advantage of the poor. The master in the middle parable is not God. It's the masters out in our world. Those who run the corporations and the governments. Those who demand that we play their games. Go get me rich. And go take advantage of the people however you can to get me rich. That's not God. That's the masters of our world. But the masters of our world, they're nasty. And they have their own form of judgment. They will destroy those who oppose them. And Jesus warns us, be ready. If you oppose the masters of the world, they will strike you down. But Jesus seamlessly ends that parable by saying, but God's true judgment will step into the madness of our world as the corporate heads and the leaders of the government try to work to make the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. God will step in and say, how dare you? Now my judgment comes. The true servants are not those who play the corporate games. The true servants are those who stand up against the oppressive authorities of our world and say, I'm not going to play your games. I'm going to love the poor. I'm going to work to lift up the downtrodden in this world. Because that is God's work and God's business. And I'm going to be about that business, whether it gets me killed or thrown out of my society. Ezekiel 18 sets up this same couplet that I believe is the basis for Jesus' sermon here. Ezekiel 18 says, those who are lifted up by the Lord at his judgment are those who refuse to take interest, to oppress the poor, but instead clothe the naked and feed the hungry. And those who are cast out are those who take interest and advantage of the poor and instead ignore their needs. Jesus has just walked into Jerusalem and challenged the very fabric of their whole world. And he marches into our lives this Palm Sunday, this Holy Week, as we march with Jesus to the cross. He's waking us up again. Every year, waking us up out of our slumber, saying, pay attention. Be prepared. God is coming. His judgment is coming into the world. And it's happening as you just go about your everyday life. He said in Matthew 24, like the people in the days of Noah, they just kept living their lives as if nothing had changed. And Jesus says to us this Holy Week, wake up. God's kingdom is breaking into the world. Be ready. Don't get caught playing the corporate games. Don't get caught working to oppress and take advantage of the poor. Put yourself out there. Risk everything to help those who are in need. Because God has your back. Jesus is the great hero of his own parables. He's the guy showing us how this is done. He's walking into the temple system and he calls them out. He calls out that corporate system of injustice and says, I'm not going to play this game. And the hornets are swarming. And they got their bullseye on Jesus, but Jesus says, I don't work for you. I work for the true Lord. For the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is my Father. And he has a heart of compassion and love that he has shown for me. And I'm going to show that love and compassion to the world. Jesus urges us, join his parade. It's not going to be a triumphant one. Walking into the centers of power and bearing witness to God's love, God's compassion for the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the stranger, the foreigner, the sick, and those who fill our prisons. May we have a heart for them because God has a heart for us and for all his world. Amen.